You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
July 26, 2021, the White House had told us the government will not get involved in forcing passport vaccination identifications or demanding that businesses require all employees to be vaccinated if they're going to work. We're not going to get involved with that. We'll leave that to them. We'll back up, just keep backing up. Because we don't know how big this one's going to get. The Veterans Affairs Secretary announcing just moments ago, COVID-19 vaccinations will be mandatory for all VA healthcare personnel. That's the first such mandate by a federal agency. And we got a lot more federal agencies lining up. This mandate will include physicians, dentists, nurses, others who work in patient-facing roles. The VA said, we're taking this necessary step to keep the veterans it serves safe. The VA said each employee will have 8 weeks to be fully vaccinated. So you're going to have to get a vaccination if you're going to work with the Veterans Affairs, if you're a physician, a dentist, or nurse. And the story out of New York the other day, Bill de Blasio and others were saying, you know, one of our biggest groups that's not being vaccinated are healthcare personnel. Healthcare personnel, many of them don't want the vaccine. Wonder why. Keep in mind that we don't know a lot about the vaccine. Now, again, I'm not trying to discourage you. You do what you need to do for you and your family or what your doctor advises. Especially if you're in compromise in some way, it may well save your life. It may well make you sick for a little bit or worse in some cases. And New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio today stepped forward and said, all New York City employees must be vaccinated or tested once per week. We're going to step up, he said, enforcement of mask mandate for unvaccinated workers. We're going to make sure they push them to do it. And yet he had just said the other day, yeah, we told them if you got a vaccination, you wouldn't need the mask. Well, now they're going to think about making them go back to the mask. They're still trying to decide. In the meantime, St. Louis County area, Nantucket, Seattle, Louisiana, numerous places stepping forward and saying, once again, mask back up. I know you got the vaccine, but now you're going to do it again. And Dr. Fake is saying to the CDC, you need to probably go in and issue a new rule. Even if you got the vaccine, you got to wear the mask. So getting the vaccine won't do anything, apparently. And it might make a lot of people say, well, if it's going to go through there, then I won't bother the vaccine. That might actually blow up in their face. That might tell some people that I just won't bother with the vaccine. And all these outbreaks we're having being reported, the government's helping. The government is helping spread COVID. I'm not just talking about those Texas legislators that flew maskless in a plane and went up to D.C. and met with VP Harris and others. By the way, anyone seen her yet since she was exposed? We're told she wasn't, but she made a quick visit a weekend ago just for a routine checkup. Anyone seen her since that time? It's not just those Texas Democrats or spreaders, but it's what our government is doing in allowing illegals to simply come across the border untested, unvaccinated, and then flying them deep into the interior. Oh, by the way, there's a new report that says wildfire smoke probably contributed to the increase in COVID in Reno, Nevada last year because COVID particles get into the smoke and get spread. Yep, spread by wildfire, so you might have gotten it that way. Prime Minister Boris Johnson pushing proposals to mandate university students must be fully vaccinated. You're never going to get out from under that. You might have heard if you're in a plane and it's a good plane, there's no reason to jump out of it. Some people like the daredevil. Some people like to parachute. I got mine in the Marines. They say jump, you jump, and the parachute better work. Tragedy in upstate New York, a 59-year-old Florida woman wanted to go skydiving, went to jump out of the plane, and the parachute did not work. A recall coming out. Multiple brand names of carrot products being sold, being pulled from shelves, I should say. The carrots may be contaminated with salmonella. If you bought any carrots recently, take them back to the store. Let them work it out for you. Give you your money. Just don't bother. This story is not going to make Bugs Bunny very happy. I will tell you that. But then again, maybe it will. Maybe we'll leave more carrots for a while. Just telling you, they're being recalled. If you got any in the fridge, either take them back to the store to get your money or toss them out. Stand by for the next segment.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I do believe that the work of this committee, in order to retain the confidence of the American people, must act in a way that has no partisanship, is all about patriotism. And I'm very proud of the members of the committee, and I'm certain that they will accomplish that goal. We have to, again, ignore the antics of those who do not want to find the truth. We will find the truth. That truth will have the confidence of the American people because it will be done patriotically and not in a partisan way.
Oh, my God. Will not be done in a partisan way. That you have Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker, lame duck, draping herself in the U.S. flag. We need to find the truth of what happened January 6th. The insurrection. Let's take a moment. Let's talk about this word insurrection. I've told you repeatedly. The way they want to clarify or describe insurrection, it was an attempt to overthrow the government. Riddle me this. How are you going to overthrow the government? While it was wrong for what these guys did when they pushed and fought Capitol and other police to get inside the Capitol, and then ran up and down chasing a guard and yelling and shouting and stealing and vandalizing and taking selfies. All that was wrong. Only one actual weapon, a gun, was found on one of those arrested. It was never pulled out and shown, used in any way. No shots were fired except by the Capitol security guard that shot the woman climbing through a window to get into the chambers. Other than that, they had U.S. flags on poles that they were using as weapons, which that was atrocious in itself. But you're not going to overthrow the government that way. you're going to overthrow the government, you're going to need a lot of mighty force and, I mean, military-type might, because that's what you're going to end up facing. So it was not an insurrection, but they like to throw that word around. Let's look at some definitions here. An insurrection. This one is from Oxford Languages. A noun. A violent uprising against an authority or government. Well, I guess you could call it an uprising. They were upset with what was going to take place. The members of Congress coming together to certify the Electoral College votes, which said that Biden won, Trump lost. But if you're going to break it down into true details, a definition, one of the best definitions of insurrection would be a rise against government authority or revolt. An example of an insurrection is a rebel protest against a dictatorship. A rising up of established authority, rebellion, revolt. And if you're really guilty of insurrection, if you incite, assist, engage in any rebellion or insurrection against the authority of the U.S., give aid or comfort thereof, you can be fined or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both, and incapable of holding offices going forward. So some of the Democrats that in the past have staged protests and yelling and shouting in the halls of Congress at their colleagues, could you book them on? Yeah, you could, but we don't. Insurrection a federal crime? Well, the Insurrection Act of 1807 is a U.S. federal law that empowers the president to deploy U.S. military and federalized National Guard troops within the U.S. in particular circumstances to suppress civil disorder, insurrection, or rebellion. But there's still so many different meanings between rebellion and insurrection and things of this nature, and the words are just kind of tossed around like they're interchangeable. They're not. They're not. You want some synonyms for an insurrection? Insurgents, insurgency, mutiny, outbreak, rebellion, revolt, revulsion, so forth. Let me give you a breakout as to the way they did it with the Oxford Dictionary. Rebellion, an open resistance, often unsuccessful. Revolution, a rebellion that's successful in a major change of government. Uprising, a brief, limited, ineffective rebellion. Revolt and insurrection imply an armed uprising that quickly fails or succeeds. An insurrection, and yes, you're really trying to overthrow the government, that's not the best term. You could say revolt. You can say rebellion, but they want to use it because it sounds official and they can kind of say, see, these people were trying to overthrow the government. So that's what this whole deal is with the Congressional House Committee going to look at what was actually behind January 6th. We have the people's business to deal with. We had it during Trump's 4 years, but they want to spend time checking on Russian collusion stories. And on anything else they could use to demolish Trump and keep things at bay. They're not wanting to deal with the U.S. and our real needs and issues. And in here, they're hoping there will be enough attention paid to this type of thing that they can slip some of their other stuff through and you won't see it going by. And Pelosi directly chose on her own decision to toss off a couple of the Republicans presented for the committee. Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio, Congressman Banks of Indiana, they were told by Pelosi, you can't come on. Why not? Well, you're too partisan. Oh, and you're not. You're not. And the other Democrats that are serving the committee, they're not partisan? Really? So Pelosi said, well, I'm going to name a Republican. Yeah, she picked a Republican she wanted to name. Illinois listeners will know this Republican. In name only, maybe. Illinois Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger. And Pelosi said, I'm putting Republicans on the committee. Here's an example.
He and other Republicans have expressed an interest to serve on the select committee. And I wanted to appoint three of the members that Leader McCarthy suggested, but he withdrew their names. The two that I would not appoint are people who would jeopardize the integrity of the investigation. And there's no way I would tolerate their antics as we seek the truth.
She's talking about Jordan and Banks, that they would damage the integrity of the committee because we're after the truth. What? Because it asks tough questions. Is that what you're saying? But let's go again. Let's go. Let's give Pelosi a chance again to use her favorite I word. Not I, me, Nancy Pelosi, although that is probably truly her favorite I word. But the I word in this case is insurrection.
We have had an unprecedented action, an assault, an insurrection against our government, an assault on the Capitol building, which is an assault on the Congress, on a day that the Constitution required us, by the Constitution, to validate the work of the Electoral College. So this was not just any day of the week. This was a constitutionally required day of action for Congress. So, I can stay, the Republicans will say what they will say. Our select committee will seek the truth. It's our patriotic duty to do so. And we do not come into our work worried about what the other side, who has been afraid of this. Maybe the Republicans can't handle the truth.
Can't handle the truth. Are you absolutely able to say that, Nancy, with a face that shows no emotion of smirking and laughing and joking? Because inside you're thinking, we know the truth and they don't. No, the bottom line is it's Nancy and the far progressives. They can't handle the truth. And to that point, Congressman Banks of Indiana, one of the Republicans, she said, cannot be on the committee. He said, truth? Truth? Really? Nancy? Truth?
Well, it's more clear than ever that Nancy Pelosi is not interested in an investigation. She's only interested in a narrative. She claimed that the reason that she booted me from the committee was because of antics on the part of Jim Jordan and I. And in hindsight, what I realize what she means by that now is that we were prepared to ask questions that no one else has asked and demand answers as to why the Capitol was vulnerable to an attack on January 6th. Why was there a systemic breakdown of security at the Capitol on January 6th? If you're going to investigate January 6th, why not ask those questions? And that's all that this comes down to. She's already predetermined a narrative about Donald Trump, about Republicans. She doesn't want to talk about what happened at the Capitol that day to make sure that something like that never happens again.
Yeah, it's not a matter of that not happening again. He's right. She doesn't want you, the general public, to know what role she played in lack of preparation for what did happen. All right, let's kind of put this in focus again. Nancy Pelosi said she did not want Congressman Banks, Republican of Indiana, and she did not want Jim Jordan of Ohio because of their antics, and they would be making a mockery of her committee. Banks said that's probably because we would ask some tough questions, because he said, I actually had already started some of my own inquiry, and what I found says Nancy has a lot to cover up.
On Wednesday, before I found out that I was banned from the committee, I found out, by the way, on Twitter, I was meeting with the head of the U.S. Capitol Police Union, who represents the rank and file heroes that make up the Capitol Police, who protect me, my family, my staff every single day. And here's what he told me. The head of the Capitol Police Union told me that on January 6th, the Capitol Police officers weren't prepared for what was going to happen, even though the head of the Capitol Police had intelligence reports dating back to 3 weeks before January 6th that something potentially very dangerous could happen that day. They weren't prepared for it. They weren't trained for it. And maybe most important of all, they weren't equipped for it. They lacked equipment, basic equipment, to take care of something like what should have been expected would occur.
So, in other words, they had all this advance information. And, of course, who got the blame that day? Trump. He was holding a rally down the street, had thousands upon thousands attending and listening to him. And yes, he believed the election was stolen from. If you look at some of the reports that have come out of Maricopa County on the audit, I don't care which side you're on, just look at the facts. The facts being like something like 70,000 ballots didn't seem to match up the signatures they had on file. Another 18,000 ballots came in after the date everything was supposed to be counted. And on and on and on. And Maricopa County, very big in Arizona. And Trump loses Arizona with 4 million votes counted. He loses Arizona by less than 11,000 votes. It could happen. But until you know what happened to those 70,000 I just discussed with you, or the 18,000 other ballots that came in later than what they were supposed to be allowed. And if you start looking at those ballots, if you find them, what are the odds? What are the odds? Every one of them was for Biden? All of them? Really? Every one? And other states are raising questions, too. Yes, they're red states and red governors, but they have a reason. What does Pelosi want? We'll get that on the other side, but I want you to hear first Congressman Banks say, you got to keep in mind, Pelosi is also to blame for what happened. More discussions on what he learned from the Capitol Hill police that he said, I would ask as a question, but she does not really want the truth.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor in it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Here's the bottom line. Once you go up to the top of the flagpole of who is in charge of the Capitol Police, who the Capitol Police Union chief, they blame the leadership of the Capitol Police. But due to the rules of the United States Capitol, the power structure of the Capitol, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, has more control and authority and responsibility over the leadership of the Capitol Police than anyone else in the United States Capitol. So she doesn't want us to ask these questions because at the end of the day, she is ultimately responsible for the breakdown of security at the Capitol that happened on January 6th.
Boom, boom. There's Congressman Jim Banks, Republican of Indiana, that was going to be appointed by Republicans to serve on her House Select Committee looking at what happened on January 6th. Congressman Banks said, I was talking to Capitol Police Union. I found out that who's really in charge at the very top, the buck stops with Nancy Pelosi. And he said already I'd been told that the union chief said Capitol officers weren't prepared, even though they'd had intel reports going back 3 weeks before January 6th that something dangerous could happen that day. They weren't prepared. They weren't trained, weren't equipped, no equipment, not even basic equipment, didn't have the backup ready. And it all comes down to Nancy Pelosi. She's the one who has the ultimate and final control and authority and responsibility over the leadership of the Capitol Police than anyone else in the U.S. Capitol. And she doesn't want us to ask those questions in her effort to find the truth of what happened January 6th. No, Nancy Pelosi says, but I am going to find out what America wants to know, or is it needs to know.
Our select committee will seek the truth. It's our patriotic duty to do so. And we do not come into our work worried about what the other side, who has been afraid of this. Maybe the Republicans can't handle the truth. But we have a responsibility to seek it, to find it, and in a way that retains the confidence of the American people.
Well, I'll tell you what betrays the confidence, Nancy Pelosi, is just what Congressman Banks just pointed out. And he would get the Capitol Police Union chief there in front of them as the committee, and he would raise that question. Tell me what you told me about information 3 weeks before January 6th, what was given to you, what resources you had, and reinforce the fact, Nancy Pelosi, it was your duty. You did nothing. Is it, did she know? Did she hear the same intel? I would assume she did. Did she let it happen? We'll use it against Trump. We'll use it against all Republicans, all conservatives, forever and ever and ever and ever. I want the truth, Nancy. Can you handle the truth? That's what we began every day on this program. Can you handle the truth? All right, we're going to get into watching over that story because it's not going to go away, obviously, for some time to come. I want to let you know that now word's just come down that California, state of California now, is also going to mandate. I told you the Veterans Affairs Office in D.C. was going to mandate you had to have vaccinations if you're going to be employed and working for the VA. Now the state of California says all state employees must be vaccinated if they're going to continue working for the state. And you'll probably still have to wear a mask. All right, let me ask this. What do you know about Bitcoin? Do you have any Bitcoin? Do you even understand what it is? Well, those who are in it or want to get in it are on the sidelines. And some have been burned. Some are making money. Some hope to. There's been a big rally. Bitcoin itself at one point this last year had been up to $66,000, fell all the way around $32,000, $34,000, now beginning back up around $40,000 because Amazon suddenly said it's going to hire a digital currency expert to take Bitcoin trading for Amazon products. Bitcoin up, Dogecoin, Dogcoin as some call it, Ethereum all suddenly having another great week. Some of these cryptos are going to really begin to pop, but which ones? And are they going to last, or is it just a scam? Are you going to lose money? Could you make money? How do you get them? We're going to be joined a little bit in the next segment, I should say. My guest is known officially as Bitcoin Ben, got a website and a YouTube presentation doing reports on Bitcoins, has thousands following. So he's a good source on what he sees happening and help you get a better understanding. The interview with Ben Simchi of the Bitcoin Ben coming up in the next segment. Get information, advice, maybe education. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER. Or you can check their website, rottler.com. 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER. Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, as one writer stated, unless you're hiding under a rock, you had to have heard of Bitcoins, blockchain, may not even understand what they are, but their buzzwords have been for some time. A lot of people investing in various Bitcoins, and in particular, one that had a true jump named Bitcoin. As I said, at one point this last year, up to around 64,000, then big sell-off. Elon Musk decided he was going to back away from it. But then now Jeff Bezos moving forward with Amazon, they're going to accept it, hiring a digital currency expert. There's a lot of information out there. I'm not going to try to, and my guess, we're not going to try to sell you Bitcoin, just trying to help you understand what it is and what you may or may not want to do or be aware of, educate you to some extent. He has his own program that he does, thousands subscribing to it, that he does a presentation on and various coins and where they stand, where they might be going. I will, in full transparency, I have some various crypto coins. That'd be the more common term for all of them. I'm not going to tell you which ones I have because I don't want to encourage you to buy anything in particular. I have made some money and some maybe in the future or maybe not. But trying to understand crypto coins and the value and what happens from here going forward. Joining us, Ben Semchi. He's also known as Bitcoin Ben at BitcoinBen.com. Has a site, as I said, that he does presentations and trying to explain. And, yes, does try to sell. But we're trying to get some information for all of you just so you understand what crypto coin and cryptocurrency is all about. Ben, glad to have you on board with us, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Larry? How's it going, brother?
Very good. Now, let's begin with suddenly we're seeing Amazon, when obviously the word comes out that Bezos tells Amazon, since he owns it, we need to start accepting Bitcoin, so hire us a digital currency expert. That suggests if Amazon is going to start going and buying into cryptocurrency, for a lot of people they thought it was just, it's a scam and everything else. What's your first reaction when you heard that they're going to do that?
Well, I can tell you, I've actually been in the cryptocurrency world for about 6 or 7 years now, and because of my show, my popularity, I know a lot of insiders who actually deal with.
Hey Ben, move the microphone away from your lips a little bit because it's popping a little bit too much. But of course, you still need to speak up. Now it'd be that's better. It'd be a lot clearer. Go ahead.
Awesome. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Because of my show and who I know, I heard about Amazon and some of their plans about 6 months ago, and I couldn't really come out. My source wouldn't really allow me to, but I want people to understand that cryptocurrencies is not a hype. It isn't a joke. It isn't a, this last year or two. What we're in the midst of is the transition from the old currency system into a new currency system, and it's the equivalent of those of us old enough to remember when we transitioned out of personal checks into credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of shift we're going into.
Yeah, and you admit, let me stop on that. You're absolutely right, because when credit cards came out, not everyone could get one. Then they didn't know how to use them. And, and is it really going to, if it ties to my bank account, can I be robbed through this? Well, of course, now we realize you can. Hacking, that's also grown in the process. But, yeah, at that time, a lot of folks, credit cards, no, I have cash or I'll write a check. Or, I don't want to ever have a credit card. Very few people don't have one now because it's the quickest, easiest way. And sometimes you do it that way and you feel better and you don't have to carry all that cash around for a particular purchase.
Absolutely. And see, the difference we got here is we have a system. That's what the Bitcoin is a global decentralized currency network that is actually the opposite of the currency we have right now.
All right, let's stop again. I hate to interrupt you, but right there you said something. A lot of people. What you said? Where there's no backing? I mean, what's behind it? I mean, am I just buying something that looks pretty and shiny, but it really has no value? Or tomorrow it could not have any value? Or tomorrow it could be worth three times as much? I mean, there are risks. I mean, we're talking about trading, just like any stock, anything else, correct? There are risks of Bitcoin can really go up, it can go really down. Is it the demand issue, a currency backing, not tied to government? Where are we?
Well, your risk is really in your timeline. How long you plan on holding the actual Bitcoin you purchase. Where if you're a trader and you're swing trading, which means you purchase it, wait for it to go up, hope it drops, and then you buy more when it drops. If your timeline of holding the Bitcoin is over 2 years, never in the history of the cryptocurrency has anyone ever lost money in actual Bitcoin if they've held it longer than 2 years.
All right, now you're talking about the actual Bitcoin, because that's one cryptocurrency. And when we say Bitcoin, yes, we tend to think everything. But there's something like 4,000 different cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin by name being one of them. So, I mean, you're talking about Bitcoin itself has been very successful. But among these other 3,999, trying to understand in the backing, what should someone be looking to see for security if they're going to get involved in crypto coins of any type?
Well, my number one advice would be watch my show.
Well, of course you'd say that. Show. I knew you'd say that. But yeah.
Everyone just keep on listening to Larry's show.
Oh, yeah, that's good, too. But the bottom line is for those out there that, you know, and your information is there, and there are all kinds of source internet availables. So it's still a confusing, it's a quagmire and a hard for many people to understand. And yet we've got major stockbrokers, though. Major stock companies are now dealing in cryptos as well. So to that extent, there must be some value depending on which one, as you say, and how long.
Yes, it's you asked what actually backs it up. Why is it valuable? Well, let me answer that very simply. That every single currency in the world and in the history of the world has had what is referred to as a shared illusion of value. And what that means is that humans place value on a currency or an item in approximation with the situation in which the humans or the community are in. And for the first time ever, there is a global internet network-based deflationary currency that is gaining adoption at a rate larger and quicker than even the internet in the mid-90s.
Wow, that's a very interesting point you raise. And, of course, the U.S. economy no longer backed by gold because if it were, it could be severely devalued. The Soviet Union becoming, you know, a large oil producer. And all this, as you said, it's transparency to some extent and at the same time an illusion. It's kind of a magic trick, and yet we all rely on it one way or the other. One final question, Ben, along that point. I mean, there are folks who maybe get in too deep, put too much on it, and they take a hit. So your warning of advice for them to be careful.
Yes, I would suggest that you do your own research. You look into it. You watch my show. You listen to Larry's show because I plan on actually coming on your show whenever you'd let me. And explaining in more detail the environment, and just do not invest more than you're willing to
willing to lose.
I hate to say lose.
Yeah, no, you're right, but you're right. Well, Ben, we're up against the clock here. I do appreciate it. It is Ben Simchi. It is Bitcoin Ben, bitcoinben.com. So you can check it out.
Actually, .io.
Okay. We'll get it corrected on our website for you. Stand by for a couple more things you make sure you want to hear.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
All right, let me clarify something. We're just doing the interview of Ben Simchi, known as Bitcoin Ben. I kept saying bitcoinben.com. It is not. Here, I'm going to give you the exact site. So, yeah, right. We'll also put it up on our post when we post this program as a podcast. It's bitcoinben.io. Bitcoinben.io. That was my mistake, and I knew better. I already emailed him a couple of times, so I knew what it was. I just, my fault. I had no excuse. It's just me, just being stupid. Oh, I know you know that. Yeah, I know you're already aware of that stuff. Okay, but anyway, that's a fascinating discussion, trying to get a better understanding. And yes, he does have a program on YouTube. You go to that site, you can check it out and make some decisions. As always, you need to make decisions that you're comfortable with. And one thing you have to do when you're playing the stock market or if you're playing poker, if you're playing with scared money or putting scared money into something, you probably shouldn't be doing it. If you can't afford to take a little bit of a loss or maybe a heavy loss, depending on how much you're investing, then you probably shouldn't. But if you have the right information and you respect and appreciate and believe in the person that you're dealing with, well, then it may well work out. And in fact, many, as I say, many of the major marketing institutions are now dealing in Bitcoin. I thought it was worth us getting a better understanding on it. Oh, this word also came across while we were doing that story, and I didn't get a chance to see it in detail. I'm trying to pull it up for you now. The FDA is requesting that Pfizer and Moderna expand vaccine trials in children ages 5 to 11. 5 to 11. You know, we don't know the long-term effects of these. We're trying to obviously control the virus and so forth, be it COVID or a variant. But we don't know the long-term effects on kids. If we started a long-term effect now, we wouldn't know for 20 years. But that's what they want to do. Again, you as a parent, it's a tough time if you got young children. If they're immune compromised, some condition, again, I tell you, talk to your doctor. As I also pointed out earlier, California is now mandating vaccine or testing for all state workers. The VA is the first federal agency to state that. And they're going to do the same thing. And then there's this story that is still developing, and that is that France warned the U.S. in 2015, we were being told you need to stop funding research at the Wuhan Institute. 2015, France was telling us that. That story is still breaking. We'll obviously have more on that, not just tomorrow, but over the next coming days. That story is going to break open. If we knew back in 2015 that this Wuhan lab was underway, would you have said shut it down, don't give them anything else, or make sure how it's done, that we have control? Yes, we have labs that do some very serious study of dangerous stuff in this nation, but our protocols, we know, at least at the highest levels that need to know, we don't know what's going on in China or what they're doing and precautions or not. We don't know. That's the difference. You know, you've often heard there's nothing like young love. And you could say that's true. But I've also always believed there's nothing like old love. There's an Iowa couple, married 73 years. Wanda, 96. Jim, 94. Married 73 years. Long time together. We do hear numerous stories from time to time that when a couple is that close together, when one of them passes, the other one is not far behind. Could it be because they've lost a will to live? Heartbroken? A broken heart actually leads to their death? The loneliness? Jim was born June 1, 1927, St. Cloud, Minnesota. Wanda was born March 24, 1925, in Merrill, Iowa. They married May 30, 1948. As they got older, they liked to spend their winters in Arizona. They had a lot of hobbies. Golf, still trying to play golf. And visiting casinos. You know, hitting slots or whatever, having some fun. Where their grandson made a post on a Facebook tribute the other day. He said, James and Wanda, 94, 96 years old, married for 73 years. God was up to something, calling them both to heaven. She passed first in a room that they were sharing together at a hospital in Iowa. His two daughters visited later in the evening, and then he died. As the grandson said, they both went to heaven 15 hours apart. Rest in peace, Grandma and Grandpa. Yeah, there's such a great thing as old love as well. Remember our pledge. It's in our Pledge of Allegiance. One nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.